Penguin Random House Audio presents The Ancients, a novel by John Larrison. Read for you by Danny Martinek. For the matrilineal ancestors of Evelyn Argetsinger and Ruth Diamond, and for all those who will come after. Back when. Once there was a boy whose parents left to get food but didn't come home. He and his sister spent the night alone around the fire, and at first light they went for the help of their adult sister who lived across the bay in an abandoned village. To go that far, they needed their father's canoe, which first had to be carried to the water where they argued over who should steer. In the end, she was older, newly 13 while he was still 9, so she steered as he dug with a paddle that was too long for him. They reached the village in the calm of morning. Their big sister listened. She said their parents were nearby. They had to be. His sisters handled the canoe on the return, and the boy was forced to ride in the middle like a toddler. With nothing to do, he chewed his thumbnail. For the first time, he wondered if they could be the last people alive. The tide was quick when they landed, and his oldest sister dragged the canoe all alone to the shelter where their father kept it. Then she wanted to hear everything again. What their father had said when he rushed home from fishing yesterday morning, the questions their mother had asked him, what she had said before leaving the house. Their big sister studied the ground at the front door. She followed tracks he couldn't see. By then a breeze was picking up. At the river, he was carried across. He thought he saw his parents' tracks on the other side, but couldn't be sure. He followed his sisters all the way to the cove and watched them whisper where seafoam flooded their ankles. The tide that night had been one of the year's highest, and now it was one of the lowest. When they returned to the house, the fire was dying. The eldest was 18, and she knew what to do. She packed the ember tube and a satchel of salt. Then she searched for any food left in the sand pantry, even after his middle sister said there wasn't any. Outside, the breeze had become a gale. They looked at each other when he asked where their parents were. Finally, the boy asked this question that scared him most. What do we do now? 1. Collapse. They crossed the tidal flat ahead of the incoming, three shapes, each smaller than the last, a little boy following his big sisters. Behind, their dark footsteps were lost to the creeping reflection of sky. Their world fallen silent. No birds, no boils of fish, only the unbroken water beyond this brink of land and the mud sucking at their calloused feet. Come on, the eldest called with a boot kept dry in each hand, and the thin-necked boy shouted, I can't, I'm stuck. He had never tried crossing the bay at low tide. Never thought to leave home under the slanted light of dusk. None of this was right. He knew that. The gale turned the sweat on his neck to ice, and there was muck to his knees, and why leave home with night so near? Just yesterday, his mother promised everything would be okay, and now his boots were in his hands. His middle sister returned for him. She was panting when she took him by the elbow. We'll cross together. She tossed the hair from her face, and he heard the clatter of shells and beads. A band of blue pigment ran ear to ear across her nose. A maiden now, when only a week before she had been a clean-faced girl. She said, Don't make sister angry.
Hurry,
the oldest yelled. She was as tall as their father, and her hands were rough like his, and the same protruding vein divided her forehead.
Tide's catching up. You get wet and you'll freeze.
He followed his sisters from the mud onto dry sand, across the flank of a dune, through the crisp limbs of a dead orchard, past the drying racks once used for fish but now abandoned, and across the sandy flat that was before a black-soiled garden of maize and squash and beans, herbs and garlic, tubers and flowers. Here, where kids used to play when there were still kids. He could remember the barking dogs, the laughter, the heavy warmth of a full belly. All the singing. He had always wanted to be old enough to join the men in their singing.
This way,
Lyrit, the oldest, demanded. She was faster through the abandoned village, her steps two of his. Her feet left deep, toe-heavy tracks he would recognize anywhere. The houses had begun falling in on themselves, the mud and its seagrass binder piled within ribs of wood used as corner posts and trusses. 24 homes, each built around a central hearth, most with three wings where children and old people and dogs could sleep together under wood heat, all now disappearing into sand. The path led to the only structure still intact. Lyrit swept aside the hide curtain and ducked within. As big as their home, and yet she lived here alone, his eldest sister. He knew he could never be so brave, brave enough to sleep alone. Marin, his middle sister, pulled her hands inside her sleeves and crossed her arms. The bright beads in her hair were clacking with the wind.
What are we doing?
She asked. There's a storm coming. Brother's cold. It was true, Kashim realized. He was cold. He sat on frigid sand and brushed the crumbles of tide from his shins and slipped on the fur-lined boots his mother had made for him. Their warmth, like hers, was immediate. Lyrit reappeared and tucked her knife into her belt and slung a satchel over her shoulder and freed her long locks from under the strap. Her neck was as thick as her jaw, her shoulders wide with muscle. She glanced toward the horizon. We're leaving.
Why?
Marin's nose was narrower, her eyes more delicate, her lashes long and curling.
Shouldn't we wait?
She wrapped an arm about Kashim and said to their big sister,
You're scaring him.
Lyrit turned from the angry ocean. I said we're leaving. Then even Marin stopped answering his questions. Where were their parents? Why leave home? When their parents came back and found them missing, then what?
Please, he begged. Just tell me what's happening.
Marin grabbed him.
Enough. Be quiet.
Lyrit was watching from atop a boulder. She used one lock to tie the rest of her hair together at the back of her head. Her hand adjusted the knife in her waistband. Sweat was streaking through her pigments. Kashim asked his adult sister,
Maybe they went to find everyone else?
Lyrit's eyes fell to him. Her pigments needed fixing, but instead she passed a sleeve across one eye and her skin showed through. She did the same with the other eye, then brought the belly of her robe up to clean the remaining pigment from her face. This was his sister become a stranger. When she turned and kept going, what choice was there but to follow? Lyrit didn't stop again until a rushing tributary where the water was too fast to wade. She took one look and heaved her satchel across and leapt the rapid as if it were nothing. Then she called back for them from that face naked of markings. Her mouth made no sound for the roar. His sister's eyes were colorless in that dusk. Marin wasn't thinking of him. She was studying the place she would land. Then her back foot lifted from the ground, and Kashim was left alone on that bank. His sisters were now together without him, their mouths opening, Lyrit waving, Marin's arms outstretched toward him. If he didn't jump, he would be alone. Kashim backed up. He looked where he wanted to land and ran. The blur of the rapid was under him and he already knew he wouldn't make it. His boots splashed into the stream and he was under, water in his ears. Skidding, his elbow colliding with flowstone, kicking but finding no ground. Drowning, this is drowning. Until a breath of air. Something had caught his hood and the current swung him around into the shallows. Fingers dug into his armpits. It was Lyrit dragging him through the brush, limbs cracking under her big feet. When he finally stood, water poured from his sleeves. It had filled his boots and ears. Already his hands quivered with this cold beyond cold. A cold like burning. Not even cold was how it should be anymore. Lyrit hated him now. I told you not to get wet. Hail, like sizzling fat. Marin flipped.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?